Good morning. It's good to see all of you again this morning. Let me invite you to the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2. For those that have been here, you know, every opportunity that we have had, we have actually been in the book of 2 Peter. Last time we were finishing chapter 1 as we were looking at the coming of Christ, as Peter argues for it against the false teachers. And so this morning we come to a section that is actually specifically dedicated to describing those false teachers. And so, like I said, there were false teachers who were actually coming through the church and actually teaching all sorts and manner of things, and they were actually misleading Peter. So Peter, in this section, he wants us to have a closer look at false teachers. So let's read. Initially, I hoped we could go up to verse 12, but we'll only go up to verse 3. So let's read, and then we go into the sermon. Verse 1, Peter is writing. He says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction." Verse 2, "And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Let's pray. Lord, we ask of your grace again upon the preaching, the proclamation of the truths embedded in these verses, and how I pray that you would also proclaim blessings upon the hearing of it, O Lord, that beyond the voice of a mere human being, we would actually hear from you. For Jesus' sake and our good, we pray. Amen. So imagine with me for a moment that you are given the responsibility of handling large sums of money. You, as per your responsibility, you have to ensure the safety and integrity of the money that you have been entrusted with. Now, suppose someone approaches you and offers you another stack of 500 kwachas. I mean, if it's a box or whatever it can be, but these are 5,000 kwachas, a stack of 5,000 kwachas. He offers them to you, and really, they look like 5,000 kwachas. And this person who offers it to you claims this is actually genuine money. But you know, it's not true. So, among those bills, among those 5,000 kwacha bills, carefully disguised are counterfeit actually notes. Usually when people want to dupe you, they don't normally actually just give you all the fake notes. For most part, they will mix them up with whatever is actually genuine. And so you actually looking at them at first glance, they look actually authentic. But when you actually look closer, you are inspecting, you realize that they are nothing more than actually clever evasions. That these are actually a counterfeit. Now, I said your task, your responsibility is to see that they are safe and they have actually, they are safe and integrity. So your task in this case, as you have been offered this stack of, you know, money, is not just to identify the counterfeit bills, but also to protect others from falling a victim to such deceit. And here's what I want you to see, brothers and sisters. The issue of false teachers and prophets is much like dealing with counterfeit money. Because false teachers come into our lives. False teachers, however they do, but they do come. They come into our lives. They come into our churches, appearing to be genuine and speaking in the name of God. But guess what? Just like those counterfeit 5,000 kwacha bills, their teachings and their motives and their character are a distortion of the truth. The Bible, when you read, this week I had to read tons of verses that actually speak about false teachers. And repeatedly it warns us, it warns you and me, it warns God's people to beware of actually false teachers. It warns us that we need to be careful. Jesus himself cautioned his disciples to be on guard against such. Amen. In Matthew 24, verse 24, Jesus says this, "For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." Those are Jesus' words. He does not say, maybe they will. He says, they will arise. In Matthew 7, verse 15, the Lord Jesus says, when he's still teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he says this, "Beware of false what? False prophets, who comes to you in sheep's clothing, and yet inside they are ravenous wolves." So the teaching on false teachers cannot be exaggerated, because they are there. Now, these false teachers may be charismatic. Now, by charismatic, I don't mean they are from the charismatic section. No, I mean they may be charismatic. They may have the charisma. They may have the eloquence, and they may be actually persuasive in their teaching and preaching. These false teachers, for most part, their performance are very impressive, and they are very attractive. And many times, many people get deceived by them. But you see, you as a Christian, me as a Christian, we are called to be detectives. To know, to be able to single them out, to be able, just like we can actually differentiate a fake, a counterfeit bill from a genuine bill, we should be able to actually detect, to know these false prophets, these false teachers. Because I tell you, the consequences, the impact of their presence and accepting them is so severe. It's so severe. So it is your task. It is my task that we come to know about false prophets. We need to know about false prophets. The problem for most part is that we don't take these things to heart. And many people have actually been mislaid. So in this text, as we are actually looking at false teachers, you need to know they are there. And you need to be able to discern. You need to be able to know them. You need to be able to actually instruct others about them, so that they also get to know them, and so that they are not actually deceived. And so as we go through these first three verses, I want us to see three truths about false teachers. You need to know in order to actually guard yourself against their deception. Now, one of the things that you see in this text, even the rest of this chapter is dedicated to false teachers. One of the things you will actually notice is this. There are no commands here. There are no actually exhortations here. There is actually just statements of fact about false teachers. Peter is not saying, I want you to do this about false teachers. That's not what he's saying. But he is saying, I want you to know about false teachers. I want you to know about false teachers. That's why even the verbs that are actually there, he says, but false prophets arose among the people, just as they will be false teachers among you. And then he goes on, he says, these false teachers will actually introduce or bring in destructive heresies. That's what he says. He just describes them. This is what they will be doing. This is what they do. And so this is for our awareness. This is for us to know that they are there and to know how to actually deal also with them. So, three truths we need to know. In verse one, which is the first truth is this: the certainty of false teachers. That's the first truth, the certainty of false teachers. Look again in verse 1, it says, but false prophets also arose among the people. And then he says, just as they arose among the people, false prophets or false teachers will also be among you. He says, there will be false teachers among you. So, again, if you're observing Peter, there are no ifs here. He doesn't say, if false teachers will arise. No. If false teachers were there. No. There are no ifs or buts here in Peter's words. This is a clear statement. You will be naive to think they don't want. They don't exist. And it will be to your actually destruction if you think they don't want. They don't exist. It's a clear statement that Peter is actually saying. He says they were false prophets among the people of God. And that's in the Old Testament. Historically, false prophets have always what? Existed. It should not be a question of if. No, it's not a question of if. It's actually an issue of they are there. False prophets are there. False prophets are here. Now, you and I know. So false prophets have always actually existed. In case we are thinking, I haven't actually seen, because this is, for me, this is just to convince you, they have always been there, and they are here, and they will always be where? Yeah. They've always been there. Historically, in the Old Testament, we find a lot of false prophets. Let me ask you to go to Deuteronomy, because that's where that's the first place we find clear statements on false prophets. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy 13. Verse 1 Here's what actually Moses is writing. He says, if a prophet or a dream of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, verse 2, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass. And then he continues, and if he says, this prophet who performs all these things, and these things are happening, and he says to you, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of the prophet, or that dream of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. But this is a place where Moses actually begins to talk about false prophets. He says, they will be people. If a prophet comes and they say, they perform signs and wonders, and they say all these things, and these things happen, but at the same time they say, let's go after idols, you shall not what? Listen to them. Moses long ago spoke about this. But even in when you read the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is actually filled with actually a false a prophet. He actually runs into false prophets again and again. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 30. You can just record. He says this, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their direction. My people, that's the irony, my people love to have it so, but what will they do when the end comes? You see, false prophets, when they come, when they actually say whatever they want to say, many times it entices God's people's heart. Here says, the prophets were prophesying falsely, but the people loved it so. People loved it so. Look at Jeremiah again, chapter 14, verse 14. Here's what the Lord is saying. And the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I did not send them. And that's the Lord actually saying, I did not send them, nor did I command them or speak to them. But guess what they did? They are prophesying to you a lying vision, worthless divination, and the deceit of their own imagination. We will keep on going. We will keep on going. There's actually, in the same Jeremiah 23 verse 14, but in the prophets of Jerusalem I have seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that none turns from his evil way. All of them have become like Sodom to me, and its inhabitants like Sodom. This is what false prophets were doing. They were there. They were actually encouraging people to live in a sin. In the same chapter, verse 16 of 23, Jeremiah, God is saying, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, the problem of false prophets, false teaching, is not a new problem. It's a problem that has always been there. But here's what I want you to see. When you look at the history of Israel, the children of Israel, every now and then they went astray, isn't it? Every now and then they actually disobeyed the Lord. They went after many other gods. They forsook the Lord, their God, who saved them from the land of Egypt. But I want you to see, chief among the reasons why God's people actually walked away or were actually led away from God is actually the presence of false prophets and false teachers. One of the reasons, the greatest reasons for apostasy, walking away from God's, of the people of God, and the destruction and the captivity of the people of God, is because there were false teachers who preached false messages, who came to them with a message claiming they have actually received a message from God, and yet God did not actually ascend them. Every now and then when you read the Old Testament, the people of God are led astray by false prophets. Because a false prophet, what he does is actually to speak as if God has sent them, and yet it's their own what? Their own imagination. And it will be also naive for us to think, you know, the false prophets were only in the Old Testament. We have already seen the New Testament is clear about the false prophets. Jesus and the apostles are clear, and they are actually speaking, they are prophesying, and they are saying they will be a false prophet. The verse that we read, Matthew 24, verse 14, and Jesus is saying, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. If you read Acts chapter 20, verse 29, Paul says this as he's talking to the elders in Ephesus. He says, I know. And this is not Paul saying, I'm doubtful. If no, he says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves, and these are false teachers, and these are false prophets, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Romans chapter 16, verse 17, Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. In other words, these are people who are coming and teaching something that is contrary to the doctrine that they have actually been taught. He says, avoid them. That's a command that Paul is actually telling the believers in Rome. You know, John 1, 1 John 1, verse 4, he says this, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. He's not just saying a few, he says what? Many. And here we are now, Peter is saying, there were false prophets, and there will be what? False prophets. I know we take it lightly, but the danger the false prophets pose cannot be exaggerated. It cannot be exaggerated. And you see what Peter is saying? Peter says there will be false prophets among you. You realize that? Where? Among you. And this is in the church. Where do you think false prophets are found? Outside of the church? Where do you think false prophets are found? Here. Many times false prophets are actually in the pulpit. They're in the pulpit. They have this book. They open this book. But they're here. I want you to see that. They're here. It will be naive for you. It will be to your own destruction if you think they are not there. I know you know that they are there. But Jesus, Peter here, he says, I want you to know that certainly false prophets, false teachers will be among you. Number two. Second truth that Peter wants us to know. Second truth that Peter wants us to know are the characteristics of false prophets. So the certainty of false prophets, Peter says, they are there. You need to be assured of that. They are there. You just need to. If you can say, if you are there and you are saying, no, me, I listen to everyone and I find no problem with everyone, I'm telling you, you are in danger. You're in danger. I usually, you know, one of the things I learned was, if you're reading a book, you cannot agree with everything that's in the book. Sometimes if you're agreeing with everything, you're not reading. You can't actually agree or actually listen to everyone who actually opens the word. But how do we know? How do we come to know these false prophets? How do we notice them? What are their characteristics? What does Peter actually help us with here? Because sometimes it's, how will I know? How will I know? First, the characteristics of the false teachers. First is false teaching, of course. I mean, we can't run away from that, would we? False teachers actually teach what is not true. Look again in verse 1. Peter says this, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. But listen to the next phrase. He says, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Peter says, these false teachers, what they will do is that they will introduce secretly, not just teaching, but he says destructive what? Teaching. In fact, when you go to verse 3, he says they will use false ways. When you go to verse 3 of the same section. So, remind you, if you remember our last time that we were actually in the book of Peter, in the last section of chapter 1, the false teachers were actually accusing Peter that whatever they are teaching is just fables, isn't it? It's just fair tales. It's not true. And Peter is turning the tables now. He says, no, ours is actually the truth. Because whatever we preach, it's not like we are getting it from our own imaginations, but we are actually receiving it from the Lord himself. That's what he says. And now he says about false teachers. He says, these false teachers, they bring in actually destructive heresies. They bring in a destructive heresies. Now, you know, the way Peter is putting it, he says they secretly bring in. In other words, it's not already what is in the scriptures, but they bring it from outside to make it appear as if it's from where? It's from scripture. They actually bring it secretly into the church. One of the things that I would actually want to highlight, that false teachers would actually, you see about this most of the times when actually preachers are preaching and false teachers are preaching, it's about self-esteem. No one can preach from this Bible about self-esteem. No one. You will not actually go into the scriptures and get there about self-esteem. Does it? I mean, if you do read your Bible, you will not find it. But you will see false teachers talking about what? Believe in yourself, isn't it? Huh? You can what? I'm finished. Don't pretend like as if you don't actually, you know, watch these people. You can do it, isn't it? Huh? You cannot. They secretly introduce, and then it sounds as if it's actually coming from here, but you won't find it in here. But Peter is saying, this is what they will do. They will secretly bring it in. They will secretly bring it in. False teachers have false teaching. And the problem is that their false teaching is actually what? Destructive, isn't it? That's what Peter says there. He says they will bring in destructive heresies. Now, heresy in itself, in the first century, heresy wasn't actually anything wrong. I want you to understand that. Heresy was more or less like a sect. I mean, Christians were called heretics if in the first century. So it was like a Christian sect. So it's like a group of people who are holding on to something. So a sect or a heresy or a heretic wasn't necessarily someone who was. But in this case, whenever it came into the scriptures now, whenever heretics or heresies were being talked about. It actually conveyed the sense of actually someone who is twisting or who is teaching what is not what? What is not true. Now, I know sometimes we may look at it and say, that's fine. But think about it. Here's how it would appear for most part. Here is how, a heresy is actually destructive. False teachers are actually bringing in something that will actually destroy us, or that will actually eventually lead us to destruction, is this. Think about this. Someone tells you that salvation is in your hands. You can actually choose to be what? To be saved. I mean, if you believe that, you take it, guess what? You may run with it. But the truth of the matter is, when you read scripture, none of us has the capacity to what? To choose salvation. To choose God. None of us is. In fact, let me just point out one which is very common at the moment. It's prosperity what? Prosperity gospel. Is that destructive heresy? Do you think that's destructive? I mean, people are actually filling up churches or to be taught the whole reason Christ died for you is so that you can be what? Huh? We are so that you can be rich. Now imagine you're coming to church and someone tells you Christ died. You will believe, of course, Christ. But the sole reason you're believing that Christ is your Savior is because He died so that you can be what? You can be rich. Of course, there's a verse in 2 Corinthians where, for our sake, he became poor so that we may be what? But contextually, that's not the point. Contextually, you cannot run with that and just to say we need to understand why Paul is actually saying what he's saying. Brothers and sisters, Christ did not die so that we just be rich. If riches come, thank God. But that's not the primary purpose Christ died. But we know there are people who are actually standing in pulpits and preaching Christ died so that you may be what? I'll say, if that's true, then almost all of us in here are not believers. True? Almost all of us here are not believers. But again, that's not the point. That's not the point. But this is what false teachers are actually what? They are actually doing. They are actually doing. They are false teaching what is actually false. If you go to Jeremiah, here's one and other Old Testament, passages. One of the things that is clear is this. False prophets always are saying, peace, peace, peace when there's no what? When there's no peace. This is what false prophets will give you vain what? Hope. They will give you false hope. That's what they do. Unfortunately, the danger is so severe that when you go to the Old Testament, when you go to the New Testament, Jesus is saying this. He says, many will come to me on that day and claiming I did A, B, C, D, isn't it? In Matthew 7. And he says, I'll say to them, I never what? I never knew you. I never knew you. But guess what? One of the things that is being mentioned is that they prophesy. Now, prophesying does not necessarily mean someone who is actually speaking about the future or revealing the future. It can mean just preaching as I'm doing. But some are prophesying. But not only that, they were actually doing many signs and wonders and miracles. So that's a first thing. False teachers bring in a destructive heresy. Their teaching is false. Their teaching would lead us to what? To destruction. I tell you, there are many who are actually in the church today, and some of us may be here. We are in here, and we believe we are saved because someone told us so. When in real sense, it's not true. We have brothers and sisters who are actually sitting under false teaching. You know them.
We have parents who are actually sitting under false what? False teaching. And Peter says, this is destructive. What are you doing about it? In the morning, we were being reminded. You know, one of the things that I know, false teachers are very vocal. False teachers are very vocal. You will find them on every corner of the street. You will find them in every minibus where they want to preach. They are everywhere. But you know what? You who are the truth, what are you doing? We're sitting on it, isn't it? We're doing nothing about it.
Anyway, that's the first characteristic of a false teacher. I said I have three truths. I'll only do two because three will not actually time will not actually allow us. But the second characteristic of actually false teachers is this. In verse 2, and many will follow their sensuality. Second characteristic is licentiousness. Or sensuality, I've just taken it as it is there. The impact of false teachers have consequences of influence upon our lives. And their impact or their influence is not actually minimal, is not actually small. He says many people will follow their sensuality. It's not just a few people. Please take note. It's not few people. Even as Matthew 24 that we read, Jesus is saying many false prophets will arise and they will lead many, what? Astray. Underline the word many, the adjective many. Again, when you read Matthew 7, he says, 2 weeks ago we were actually sitting under this sermon on the narrow gate and the wider one. How many are on the wider gate? How many? Many, isn't it? It's many who are actually on the wider gate. But one of the things that you see about false teachers is that they tolerate sensuality. They themselves are characterized by sensuality. Now, let me just explain a bit about the word sensuality. The word itself can be translated shameful ways. But it often refers to sexual sin in the New Testament. I'll give you some verses that you can actually look up. We'll not go there. Romans chapter 13, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21. And there are many others as well that indicate that sensuality has a connotation or refers to sexual sin. And it's more likely true here that Peter is actually talking about their immoral lives. If you go down the verses, you'll find that there is actually quite a lot that Peter talks about. So here's what I want you to see. He says many will follow their sensuality, their immoral life. Now, if I preach here and if I preach my own opinions and I don't demand on you an upright life, it's okay, isn't it? I mean, how many people would come if everything goes? How many people? Many people. Many people. I know some people. I know I have some friends. I used to be close to them at some point who are actually saying, you know why I go to such a church? It's because they allow this. You want us to stop doing everything. People go where they go because everything actually goes.
So here's what I want you to see, what Peter is actually saying here. They are characterized by sensuality, and they attract many people by their sensuality, by their immoral lives, because it's actually unrestricted. And here's what I want you to know. What attracts people to these false teachers is that they advocate a licentious lifestyle. And therefore many people are only too glad to follow their what? Their example. I mean, if, as Peter is actually saying here, if you come to a church where I know of a pastor who, at least I would use that, but someone who say, I can't preach sin. Have you heard of that guy who said, I cannot preach sin? No, they can't. In all his preachings, he says he doesn't want to be negative because sin is what? It's negative. You know him. Don't pretend like you don't know him. You know him. I can't preach sin. And guess what? Where there is no preaching of sin, preaching against sin, everyone lives as they what? They want. As they see fit. If you're preaching this book, you cannot live out sin. You cannot spare sin. But you see, false teachers, it's like what Peter Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, in the last days, you know, people will not endure sound teaching, but they will accumulate for themselves false teachers, or teachers who actually teach them what their itching ears wants to what? To hear. It's like, I don't want that negativity in my life. You know, there's negative energy, negativity these days, and all of that. Peter says, you know what? They are sensual. They are immoral. Again, when you go down there, you find that their immorality is actually very evident. It's clear that they are actually immoral. They entice people. They actually commit sexual immorality and all sorts of things. And Peter here is saying, I want you to see the characteristics that they are actually immoral, and they attract more people because they themselves are just like that. You and I know what God has called us to is to what? To holiness, isn't it? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, it says, be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am what? That's God's call upon our lives. But false teachers are just everywhere. And they are, actually, I mean, tukuzambo chula maina. It's sad sometimes, you know, you hear people say as if it's spiritual. Ine sindi yankula zoi ba za muntu wa Mulungu. Za muntu wa Mulungu ama dziwa ndinda? Ni Mulungu. And they're still going there. No, musa wiruze. You know, that's the language we usually use. But you know. You know. And because of their immoral lives, verse 2, as it's ending, it says, many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be blasphemed. Guess what? I know people who say, ngarawa galowe kumamba, awawa. Inindi galowa, nduruluka, nduruluwaso, nduruluka. But you see, the reason why they're saying what they're saying is because of the lifestyle that actually false teaching actually produces. That's the reason why. The way of the truth, the gospel itself, the beautiful gospel Christ died for, is actually maligned by, you know, immorality that is found in the church because of false teaching. And this is why church discipline we do. Because that's It's to help the church to keep this church pure according to the scriptures. If you as a believer are not living right, guess what? If your neighbors know that you're a Christian and they know you by the way you live, by your lifestyle, I mean your conduct, then we will actually be noticing this is a different person, isn't it? Yeah. They will be noticing this is a different person. But if they know as well, your conduct, that it's not actually lined up with what the scriptures are saying, I mean, you actually, even before they desire, you actually even push them away. They don't even desire to have what you have, because you're no different from them. Unfortunately, they deceive many. Many follow in their sensuality. There's a lot of sexual immorality. There's a lot of corruption in the church. There's all these things happening in the church. And guess what? False doctrine actually leads to false living. There's no way false teaching would actually result in sound living. No. I mean, you say, but I know there are certain groups like, I don't know which group, let me not mention. But there are certain groups that you would say, I know that sect, but they're very strict, they're very moral. No, it's just about morality. It's not actually something that comes out of an understanding of the truth of God. Godliness flows out of what? Sound doctrine. Let me go to the last one, the last characteristic that we actually see here of a false teacher. A false teacher is actually greedy. He's actually greedy. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, and in their greed, and he's still talking about false teachers, isn't it? They are greedy. Everything about a false teacher is never about pure motive. It's about them and them alone. Look at what Pope Peter is actually saying here. He said, in their greedy, they will actually what? Exploit you. In their greedy, they will actually exploit you. I want you to see, even on this one, in verse when you go down there in verse 14, look at verse 14. here's how Peter describes these false teachers in verse 14. He says this: they have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls, and they have hearts trained for what? Greed. It's like, you know, in there you should underline it, train. It's like they have become experts at being greedy. And at extrapolating whatever they want to get from who? From people. In fact, look at verse 2, verse 3 again. He says, and in their greed, they exploit you. With what? With false words. Again, these are not new things that we hear. We are hearing for the first time. No. But I want you to see that another characteristic of false teachers is that they are greedy and they are actually exploitative. The word exploitation has the idea of doing business or gaining at the expense of someone. That's the idea of actually exploitation. I'm doing business so that I can actually gain more even though the other person is losing. And this is what actually false teachers will actually do. And when you read 1 Peter actually chapter 5, Peter is actually talking to the elders of the church. He says to the elders, you should not do ministry for shameful what? For shameful gain. You should not actually save God's people for shameful gain. But this is exactly what false teachers what? Do. Now, I don't have to give examples as well. But you know, some of us have been there. Thank God we are no longer there. But some of us have actually given sometimes everything we had because someone said, the Lord is saying you need to empty your pocket. Isn't it? Oh, I mean, don't pretend. We have been there. We have given. believing that the Lord will actually what? Bless us. But guess what? It's just a trick. It's just this person being greed to actually get whatever he wants to what? To get. That's what it is. Paul here, Peter here, he says these are men who are greedy. They will do whatever to get whatever they want. If it means, and false teachers are more or less like politicians. In a sense, politicians, or I mean, let me not just categorize politicians. But you know there are people who kujago they send money. She can't even walk. But I tell you, there's someone who is so hard hearted that he takes that money nuga mangira nyumba yake. That's cruel at its best, isn't it? But false teachers don't care whether and false teachers will take even that. And they don't care as long as actually they are okay. Let me take you to Micah. I want you to see something that Micah is actually saying. This is not just a New Testament phenomenon. It's not. Micah chapter 3, verse 5. He says this, Micah, and this is what the Lord is saying. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray. By the way, that's what they usually do. That's their mission. There is nothing for us to just do but lead God's people astray. But he says this, thus says the Lord of God, the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray. Who cry, and this is what they say, peace. When there is something to what? To eat. But look again what he says. And they cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against him who puts nothing into their what? Into their mouth. This is something that it's been there. I mean, we talk about seed, we talk about, you know, all those givings that we gave before. But this is what false prophets actually do. I mean, how much when you're giving, they are actually close to you. And they say, the Lord bless you, the Lord bless you, the Lord bless you, isn't it? But this is what God is saying. He says, these false prophets, they say peace when they have things to eat, when they have food to eat. But they cry war to no one, to anyone who doesn't actually put something into their mouth. Look at verse 6. Therefore it shall be night to you, their judgment, that is, without vision, and darkness to you without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. And that's judgment that God is going to bring. The streets shall be disgraced, and the diviners put to shame. They shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. But look at verse 9. He says this, hear this, you heads of house of Jacob and rulers of the people. Verse 11, it says this, its heads, of course it starts from verse 7, its heads give judgment for a bride, and you're talking about civil government, but look at the priests, its priests teach for a price, its prophets practice divination for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord in the midst of us? No disaster shall come upon us. This is the characteristics of false teachers. I know I'm singing to a choir. But sometimes we fall prey to this, isn't it? Many times. Greedy. And the thing is, greed is actually contagious. Their greed is actually passed on to who? To whoever is in their congregation. Because guess what? When you're giving for gain, isn't it? You're giving for gain, of course. It's like you're making an investment so that you can make more on top of that. But I want you to see, this is what actually Peter is actually describing about false teachers.
It's close. What do we do with all of this? What do we do with all of this? Oh man, we'll be naive, like I've said again and again, we'll be naive to think there are no false teachers.
We need to guard, we need to protect ourselves from false what? False teachers. We need to protect our church from false teachers. You're like, I mean, it can't happen to us. If that's your objection to say it can't happen to us, then you're also naive as well. Because it can happen to any church. It can happen to any a church. You know, in our covenant that we decided last Sunday, one of the points we mentioned when we are making a covenant, we say we'll strive for the evangelical ministry in this world. Have you forgotten? We will strive for the evangelical ministry of the word in this church, isn't it? To see to it that the truth is being expounded. That's the idea. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to make sure to guard against false teaching. Oh yeah. I know you cannot. No, I mean, anyone can fall prey to false teaching. We need to guard ourselves. But I want you to see the danger of false teaching is actually severe. Because if you have been deceived, it simply means whatever you have believed is not what? Is not true. Whatever hope you have is what? Is false. I mean, imagine you actually hoping, I'm going to heaven. And then Christ comes and says to you, I never knew you. Of course, he's talking to the leader. But guess what? They have masses under them. There are many teachers, there are many people under them who are actually following. They fill up stadiums, by the way. People come from South Africa to be here. I mean, across the world, to actually just follow someone. And this is someone who is not actually even preaching the truth. What's going on? If you are under him, it will be by grace that you'll be saved. And I mean, by grace, I don't want to distort grace here. But if you are under him, you should know you are also imbibing in all that is what is false. So you need to examine yourself as well, what you have believed. You need to examine yourself what you have believed. Is what you have believed the truth? Is your life matching with what you profess to be? Because false teachers, they can never hide. They may deceive you for a moment, but their true colors will what? Will show up. Will show up. You, because if what you have believed is true, what it simply means is your life will align itself up with what you believe. And you may be here. You may be here. And all you have known is, I can believe everyone who is actually preaching. You want to examine yourselves as well. And if you know someone who is actually preaching is not preaching the truth, and you are actually following that person, you want to actually make sure that you see that and you run away from that and run to Christ. Run to Christ. Run to Christ. The last point we were going to do is the condemnation of false teachers, which, Lord willing, when we come back, we will actually do. May the Lord help us to be on guard, because false teachers are real and they are causing a lot of havoc in the church among God's people. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. We pray that you would cement these truths to our own hearts. that will be on guard against false teachers. As you help us to be continuously men and women, boys and girls who are actually committing ourselves to knowing your truth. Because there's no other way we can know and spot false teachers if we don't know the truth of your word. Jesus says they disguise themselves in sheep's clothing, but yet being ravenous wolves. So I pray, O Lord, that you'd help us to actually guard, to be discerning. And if we don't understand, may we be a people that are seeking help and clarification on things that we have heard. But over and above all, Lord, we pray that as you have given us the truth, we actually preach and teach this truth. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.